Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
Hey, Juicy Lemoners, before we start the show, we wanted to remind you to follow and subscribe to us on whichever podcasting app you're listening to. And as always, enjoy the show. Crazy Rich Asians? This week on Lemon, Netflix has released a new reality series, but should you be watching it? And how did Three Ladies and Mahjong upset the entire Asian internet? And as always, we have some new exciting recommendations to share with you. Each week, we dissect the conversation Asian millennials are having, so don't go anywhere because you're listening to Lemon.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Lemon. As always, my name is Philip Cooch.
And my name is Thomas Tan.
Thomas, we survived 2020.
We did.
How does 2021 feel? Does it still feel like 2020 part two?
Part two, yes, it does. I feel like 2021 was going so great until the capital attacks that happened.
I know, not even a week into New Year's, and that already happened. Like, what the heck is going on?
Look, it sounds like we do have another few more installments to come, but what did you get up to with your holiday break?
Well, I guess the correct term is I went a bit viral.
Oh, you go big viral.
I did.
Explain how.
All right, cool. So look, I've been using TikTok religiously over the past couple of months. I've been so obsessed with TikTok, and I've said this so many times on the podcast already. Just last week, I posted something on TikTok, my first post on TikTok, and it kind of went like semi-viral. Like my first post didn't go super viral, but my next post went super viral.
How? What's like your definition of super viral?
The most viral I'll probably ever go. Like, I think altogether my videos have got like 500,000 views.
So. 500,000 views?
So I guess that's pretty viral. Like, I'm pretty famous now. I've got a couple of thousand people who follow me. So look.
To those who don't know Philip's new TikTok, please share, what is your name?
So my name on TikTok is Mr. Chinese. And the reason why I named it Mr. Chinese is because my first video on TikTok was about the Mahjong ladies, who we're going to discuss later. And it was... Well, I won't say too much, but they pretty much stole Mahjong and tried to create an American version of it. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to create a username where I'm going to own my Chinese identity. So I was like, I'm just going to call myself Mr. Chinese.
When you linked me Mr. Chinese, well, first thing I think was, why isn't it Mr. Cambodian? But then I'm like, oh yeah, you took the DNA test. Like, you're 100% from China. So
I am. I'm 100% Chinese. Well, what about you? What's the highlight of your holiday?
Besides family and seeing a lot of friends, I guess the main thing or the most exciting thing that happened to me was that I got pink eye.
You still got a bit of pink eye now.
I still got a little bit of pink eye.
So if you guys want to see his pink eye, just head over to head over to our Instagram page or our TikTok page and you'll see his little pink eye.
It's gotten a lot better, actually. I didn't realize how bad pink eye could get. I mean, I woke up with my eyes kind of glued shut and I was like, oh my gosh, what is happening?
That's terrifying.
I guess a little bit, but I knew it was kind of coming. So I got my ointments, my things from the pharmacy, and then chucked it in, did a bit of prayer, praise the Lord, glory to God for healing my eyes, and that's it, my pink eye is nearly gone.
Well, I'm glad that was the highlight of your holiday. Sound like you got up to heaps of activities.
Pretty much that's it.
Well, look, over the break that we've had over the last 4 weeks, a lot of our listeners have actually been dying for us to talk about these next two topics, so let's just get right into it.
Let's take a live look now outside.
Ladies and gentlemen of America.
Ariana Grande lick and spit on the merchandise.
There can be 100 people in the room.
Leave Britney alone.
Catch me outside, how about that?
Rise and shine.
China.
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 Let's talk about Bling Empire because everyone is talking about this show right now. So if you haven't heard, Bling Empire is the new reality TV show that Netflix has just released. And it kind of has been described as Crazy Rich Asian, the TV reality show. It's just like rich Asian people on steroids. So there's been a lot of criticism around the show even before it aired, and a lot of people are saying, you know, this is not a real representation of real Asian culture and that it's a very whitewashed show made for the mainstream media. So we watched two episodes of it, Tom. I would love to know what you thought about the show when you watched it.
From my first impression of the show, the first episode that I watched, I felt a little bit sick in a way, and I didn't know why. But after watching it for the second episode, I kind of started to enjoy it. Like, you have different characters where, for example, Anna, comes from a billionaire family, she's in her 50s or 60s, and her family made bombs, guns, weapons. And you have other characters like Kelly, who was married to a rich tycoon who got embezzled for fraud. And then you have other people whose dad worked at Silicon Valley, who are billionaires, who dropped out of college. But this show, for me, I just felt was a bit strange. Despite all these characters and all their lavish lifestyles, I think it was because when I was watching it, it was strange seeing an Asian, East Asian person, extremely wealthy, in a reality TV show.
I know the feeling that you're describing, because that was the exact same feeling I had when I was watching that show. It felt like, I think a lot of us were really excited to see this show, because we support Asian media, and then we're like, wow, Asian people on TV, let's watch it. And you have really high expectations when you go to watch it. But then when you go to watch Bling Empire, you watch it expecting to be feeling really empowered, saying, wow, go Asian people. But when you watch the show, you're actually feeling, wait, this doesn't feel right. Like, I don't feel like I know these people. Like, they look like me, but nothing they do resembles or I can relate to.
One thing that I did relate to watching it was when they were talking about, do you know Cherie? When Kane was like, oh yeah, you know, she needs to turn down her filters with the eye. When said that, I was like, whoa, okay, that is the first thing that I related from this TV show, because a lot of my Asian aunties, they pump up the eye super big, make your skin super pale. But out of that, and from episode 2 about family values, I didn't really get much from this kind of show.
You're right. And I think that's a lot of feeling that a lot of us are getting when we watch this show. We feel so disconnected from them because we're not used to seeing rich, powerful Asian elites on TV. Like, whenever we see Asian people on TV, they're always submissive. They're always the loser on the TV or the loser in the movie. But then here you see the show, they are the wealthy of the wealthiest on TV. And like you said, lots of them are heirs to billionaire tycoons. So I think when we see those people flaunting it on TV, we just feel uncomfortable watching it because we're just not used to seeing it.
100% agree. And I think it's more for a sense that a lot of Asian culture is that people tend to be a lot more humble when it comes to money. And, you know, when Asian parents always fight over the bill. But watching, we've only seen the first two episodes of Bling Empire, but from the first two episodes, you can tell it's a very catty, it's a very bitchy environment. And a lot of these people who are on this reality TV show, besides being, it is a little bit scripted, they do it in more of a social sense. Like, you have a character like Christine, who says her necklace is from Versace. You have to unlock it to have, you have to have the privilege to buy this kind of necklace. So it's this environment that they are in, which is mostly for TV and I guess just for ratings.
It does feel very whitewashed, like very sanitized. Like, I'm not saying I hate the show. Obviously, I've been actually really enjoying watching the show. Like, it's a form of escapism for me. Like, it's, you know, it's just, I think it's nice to see rich, powerful Asian people on TV doing something than other being a loser. So I think in that aspect, it's empowering because we're seeing, we're like, wow, well, Asian people, they're so cool. But at the same time, like, it is a bit uncomfortable, like I said, seeing people flaunt their wealth that look like you. Because now when we go out, people might start thinking that we're rich and that we're rich from rich families.
Actually, you know what it is, what I reckon? Because I watch Real House of Beverly Hills, right? Me seeing a white person or someone of color who has money, I'm like, yeah, go them. Like, I'm living vicariously through you. But watching Bling Empire, I'm like, oh, you look like me, but I wouldn't have done that. Like, even if I had money, I wouldn't have made the same decision that you're making. Like, spend $20,000 to $100,000 on a Versace necklace or jewelry. I would never do that. Like, in a real life reality TV show, we would invest. We would buy stocks. We would buy real estate. And seeing people who are pretty much our age in their early 20s and 30s spending money like there's no tomorrow, it made me feel really uncomfortable.
Do you think there was a bit of jealousy? Do you feel a bit jealous of them? Because I definitely felt a bit jealous. I was like watching, I'm like, I wish I was living their lifestyle. And I think when you watch like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, there's a clear distinction, like these guys are white, like we'll never be like them.
Mm.
But when you see an Asian person on TV living that lifestyle, you're like, oh, I really want to be them. And you kind of like hate watch it for a moment in time. Like I was hate watching it at the beginning, but then by episode two, I was like fully invested in the show. I love this trashy show.
It's kind of very similar to, do you know, when Asian parents growing up, when you go to sit for your exams, right? A lot of the parents are, oh, you know, don't share your test results, you know, make sure, like, it's very... It is comes across in a very selfish way. Like when you do work in a very educated environment, they don't want you to share your answers. They want to send you to the best tuition. And it kind of felt like that again when I was watching this TV show. Watching an Asian succeed, I'm a little bit of that, like you said, that bit of that jealousy. Ooh, how come they
can make comparison,
it?
Like
a bit of comparison. And oh my gosh, that's what a lot of Asian peoples do. So I guess watching this TV show, I guess I was comparing myself with them. But I know for a fact that if I was to live their lifestyle, I wouldn't be happy.
I blame it on our parents because they instilled that sense of we're to compare ourselves to other Asians. So blame our parents for that.
True, true, true.
Well, look, of course, we're living through a global pandemic still. It's been a year, well over a year into it now. A lot of people have lost their jobs and a lot of people have hated on Asian people. A lot of anti-Asian sentiment right now. Do you think the show is doing more harm than good to the Asian community?
I guess when people are like, we want more representation in media, I don't think this is what we're looking for. I mean, it's good that we are seeing people like us on TV, but it's not people who are the majority of us on TV. Like you have Crazy Rich Asians where you have crazy rich Asians on TV. And then when people of non-East Asian descent watch it, like, ooh, are you guys really rich? Oh, you're Chinese. Oh, you said you're from China. And that stereotype where Chinese people, international kids from China who come from overseas or people who come from overseas to study here, we assume they're rich. So these TV shows that are putting out there, even though there are dubbed reality TV shows, it makes people who are non-East Asian descent play into these, believe these stereotypes a lot stronger.
Like I love the show, like I love watching it. It's very entertaining, but I am a bit worried about that this is going to further make people think, like non-Asian people think, that Asian people are taking jobs and stuff away from them. Like people are already starting to think that China is taking over the world. And I feel like this is going to further perpetuate that. And people are going to continue to think that Asian people are taking jobs, land and wealth from Americans, from white Australians. And this is my only worry about it. But other than that, I feel it's good that we're seeing a different type of Asian TV now. We're seeing a powerful, rich, elite Asian on TV. Even though they might be spending money on like some like things that I wouldn't spend money on, but it's still good to see that, you know, there's the non-submissive Asian on TV.
I guess people just need to understand that even though it is the reality, these producers, like even from watching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, like producers feed the cast members fake information so they end up fighting. And even the people who produce this show, they're obviously looking for a way to better themselves. So it's kind of like, that yes, it is a reality TV show, but it's been pumped up, like you said, with steroids.
Well, my only complaint is I wish they showed the other side, the real side of Asian culture. Like, where is the mom saying, stop spending money on designer goods, or like, come home by 9 o'clock? Like, these kids are hanging out way past their bedtime.
And why would someone spend $19,000 on a rented apartment for a month?
Rich Asian kids stuff. Well, we'd love to know what you guys think. Tell us, you know, do you relate to this show? Like, are you enjoying it? Are you hate watching it? Head over to our Facebook page and Instagram page and tell us what you think. There'll be more Lem coming up, but first, here's a few words from today's sponsors. Let's talk about Mahjong. Over the past few weeks, there's been a lot of discussion about these three ladies from America who decided to take our beloved Mahjong game and give it a personality and a respectable fresh redesign because it didn't appeal to their fashion senses. So Tom, have you heard much about these Mahjong ladies?
I've heard a little bit. I didn't read much into it, but I do know that they took these Mahjong sets, and correct me if I'm wrong, but they change the picture on the Mahjong sets, is it?
They change everything about the Mahjong game that we know. So as you guys know, Mahjong is a tile-based game that originated from China hundreds of years ago. And, you know, Asian people all around Asia play it at family gatherings. So these ladies, I'm not sure the exact stories of how they came across Mahjong, but I imagine they would have, like, maybe went to a trip to China and then, like, their Airbnb host, like, show them how to play Mahjong. And then she was like, wow, ooh, business idea. And so she decided to, one of the owners decided to take that Mahjong game, and she's like, oh, you know, this is too hard to read. I can't read the Chinese characters. All the Chinese characters look the same, and like, doesn't meet my aesthetics. Like, it doesn't resemble my fashion sense. So she took that and she redesigned every single thing, took out all the Chinese characters, and then rebranded as American Mahjong.
What picture did they replace it with? Like, if they took out all the Chinese stuff,
they put literally, I'm not even joking, like, a flour bag.
As in, like, baking
Replacing the beautiful flour tiles on Mahjong and the Chinese numbers on the Mahjong and put crack or something like that and a whip or something like that. I have no idea
crack,
what...
Crack as in, like, cocaine?
I don't know, like a...
Oh, a whip?
I think so.
Or a lasso?
They just changed all the tiles completely. And in their About Us page, they wrote that they decided to change the tiles because the Chinese numbers and the Chinese characters all look the same. So they wanted to make it easier for people to understand how to play Mahjong.
When I first saw this story, or when I first had a bit of a glimpse when it went viral, the first thing that I went is on the website, right? So I had a look at some beautiful websites, whoever did the website, like, kudos to you. But when I read about, like you said, the about page, the way that they go about in taking the elements of a Chinese culture, it's because they didn't like it. Like, these three women, they just said it needed a refreshment. So they go ahead and take these characters or these pictures and redesign it in their own Americanized way. And then they go sell it, make a profit on it based on Chinese culture and tradition that has stemmed hundreds, if not even thousands of years. And this isn't the first time that we've seen something like this as well.
I think what's problematic about this is that, like you said, they've taken something that has been completely fine, that a lot of Chinese people, a lot of Chinese manufacturers make, and a lot of Chinese people proudly make and sell Mahjong, taking something that has cost normally about $50 to $100, sell it for $425.
My goodness.
And say that, you know, Mahjong, the Chinese Mahjong was a problem and people couldn't play it because it was in Chinese.
Look, I can't even read Chinese, but I don't need to know how to read it in order to play it. Like, the only thing I know about it is that you play Pong, Kong, Chi. But after...
You can, like, play Mahjong without learning Chinese. I can't read Chinese. I can play it.
Exactly. They would rather redesign the whole thing so it suits their aesthetic, their westernized culture, rather than just learn the Chinese tradition.
They're saying what's wrong with it instead of taking the time to learn how to play it. I think all in all, my problem with it is that I feel like they're selling a culture like that isn't theirs, and they're profiting off it. And a lot of people who might rely on making Mahjong for a living are missing out because of these three white ladies who decided to take it and not pay respect to the Chinese history behind it, by the way. And run with it and make money. And you know, growing up in Australia, you know, we're like almost 30 now. But, you know, growing up, we've been teased for the way that we look and the way that we sound, the way that our language sounds. And then 20 years later, we see three white people taking parts of our culture and making a living off it. It just doesn't sit right with us.
I think the sad thing is that we were told, like, this is not...
Like, your culture is weird.
This is weird. Yeah. Like, this is a negative thing about you. And then taking, oh, I guess this is exactly what, like, you know, African Americans went through, especially with their hair, being told that your hair is not professional, that you have too many curls, and then later stealing hairstyles from black people. So I guess in a way, this is quite similar in that sense.
It is cultural appropriation. That's what it is.
Cultural appropriation.
that's what we haven't mentioned in this whole segment.
What about Louis Vuitton?
Did you say Louis?
How do you say it?
Louis Vuitton.
Louis Vuitton.
It's Louis Vuitton.
Look, I don't buy branded stuff, but Louis Vuitton?
Is that some like cheap market brand?
I'll say LV. But LV, they're selling a Mahjong set for $80,000, and it's made out of jade, of all things. What is your take on that?
Well, I think the the difference between the LV Mahjong set and these white lady set is that the white lady set is completely whitewashed.
Mm.
And LV has kind of like taken, you know, the aspects of Mahjong and kind of just made it a luxury item. Like they still had all the rich Chinese history behind, like all the Chinese characters, all the Chinese tiles.
Mm.
And I feel like that's, in a way, is a form of like cultural appreciation, not appropriation.
But they charge you $80,000.
And like, obviously, there's going to be rich Asian people who might want to invest in it. Like, you know, I saw the other day on TikTok where there's this really advanced Mahjong table where you put the Mahjong tiles in the middle and it automatically shuffles it. Like, that's completely fine. That still has, you know, has a rich Chinese history behind it. What do you think of the LV set? Because do you think it's problematic?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like there's so many things that even if I could afford an LV, a Mahjong set, I would never spend 80 grand on it.
Look, the crazy rich Asians in Bling Empire would definitely buy something like that.
Mm.
Well, we'll love to know what you guys think. As always, head over to our Facebook page, Instagram page, or our TikTok to let us know what you think and join us in the conversation there. Okay, before we go into recommendation time, like, I don't know if it's showing through the recording of this, but this today has been so hard to record.
Because I feel like we've lost our groove.
We have. Like, we've just been re-recording the segments over and over again. So,
keep stumbling, keep saying things that we're not supposed to say.
Keep talking over each other.
Sorry, our brains are, we're still on holidays. Yeah. And technically, you know, work starts tomorrow.
Okay, well, let's go to recommendation time. Like, over the holidays, you must have had heaps of time to watch a lot of different shows. So, why don't you do the honor and recommend the first recommendation of 2021?
Actually, I have been watching a lot of TV. The first one I really want to recommend is called Alice in Borderland or Borderline.
Borderland.
Borderland.
Borderland or Borderline? Alice in Borderland. Borderland, I think.
Sounds like Alice in Wonderland. Borderland, yeah. So it's a show which is a Japanese created Netflix original series, and it's about these teens or these people, not actually teens, these Japanese people who are in Tokyo and they suddenly get abducted to somewhere where it's like a dystopian fantasy. And in order to survive, they need to play these life games where it's based around a deck of cards. So some games may be like you need to find the killer before he finds you, and if you die, you literally die in the show, you literally die in the game. Or other, like another game where you have to, for example, figure out which room has the fire and run to the room with no fire. But this show is incredible. Like, the budget for the show is amazing, and you can tell the games behind it, I really thought through, like, oh, I would never have got that. I would have died. And watching them survive, so much, oh, I would have died in that once. Oh, I would have died again. So me watching Alice in Borderline, it's incredible. What do you think?
I love the show. I think it's such a, it's just like, it's like a real life comic book because it is based on the manga.
Mm.
And I do love how, you know, it makes you think about the show and you think about, oh, what would I have done if I was in this scenario? And like you said, most of the time
we would have died.
We would have died. Like, we'd be the first to die. But I think the best description of the show is like Japanese Hunger Games, kind of.
Yeah.
So you fight to survive, you play all these little games, and you might have to kill some of your friends and whatever to survive. But it is extraordinary. It's eight episodes, and I think they're about an hour each, but it goes by so fast.
What I really love about this show is, because I'm actually starting to get into a lot of anime now, the way that they dress, the way that Japanese people do their hair and their makeup literally looks like animation. And the way that they even act, like at the very end of one episode, I remember one of the guys with silver hair is standing behind, and then usually in anime, someone else will come behind him and stand right like behind next to him, and they'll say something like, that's really bad. So, is that racist?
I don't know.
But they'll say something Japanese where it's so dramatic, and they did that in this. So it's like a real life anime show. So for those who do love watching anime, I'd 100% go watch Alice in Borderline.
It really does remind you of like back in the early 2000s when a lot of people were obsessed with Japanese culture.
Mm.
It kind of like very reminiscent of that time.
And they're making all the girls wear bikinis too, which is a very anime manga thing where all the boobs pop out.
All right, pervy Tom.
But
But look, Alison Borderline is on Netflix if you want to watch that. Borderland, if you want to watch that. We both love that show. I think I'll give it at least an 8 out of 10. Like, it was so good.
My mom watched it and she didn't like it at all.
Oh. Well, she doesn't like anime though.
True.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Thank you so much for joining us today. Hopefully it hasn't been much of a drainer. We're getting to the groove of things again, so be patient with us.
I feel like I forgot how to talk.
I know. But as always, if you want to join in any of the discussions, head over to our Facebook page, Instagram page, or our TikTok. And as always, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Looking for a new podcast to listen to? Here's what we love, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Join me, Kim Zolciak-Bierman, and my husband, Corey Bierman, for a brand new episode of House of Kim every Wednesday, where we unapologetically share the ups and downs of our unpredictable life with six kids that you may have seen on Bravo TV. I have been a parent since I was 18 years old and was a single parent for many, 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 many years. When you become a mother, you'll understand that drive to succeed, that passion. They give you another force behind your body that you'll never understand until you're there. And just like you guys, we are always trying to find a way to inspire and increase positivity in our daily lives. A little something like this.
It's your life. You should live your life, and you should want to live your life to the best and fullest. Do what makes you happy.
Listen to House of Kim on Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast recommends.